Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Redskin safety DJ Swearinger is going to join us live from Redskins Park this hour. We'll also catch up with longtime productive Skins running back Clinton Portis coming up on Grant and Danny live at Redskins Park here on 106.7 The Fan. We got some time right now, though, because we weren't able to in our first hour, to take a quick spin around the NFC East. Yesterday was the best kind of a day for a Redskins fan, Danny, because not only did Washington win going away in resounding fashion, absolutely dominant effort in the first half, and ultimately a two-touchdown victory over the Packers, but it was also one of those Sundays where the Dallas Cowboys were really bad.
And you got to watch it in the afternoon game.
Remember after week one, you and I came in studio and said, Dallas might actually stink. They don't have weapons in the passing game. None of their wide receivers are explosive. They don't get open for Dak Prescott, who's just okay anyway. And Ezekiel Elliott can only carry this team so far. Well, week two, they had a bounce-back effort against a Giants team that might not be that good. But watching them yesterday, and again, it was one of those gem Sundays where you got to take in all of the Cowboys' awfulness after the Redskins had already won. Another mediocre at best performance from Prescott, who threw two picks and only 168 yards passing. Ezekiel Elliott went for 127. That's their script. Only Christian McCaffrey ran for more yards in week three in the NFL than Zeke Elliott did yesterday. But their leading receiver with five catches for 47 yards was a guy named Jeff Swaim, who's a tight end.
You can't stop Jeff Swaim.
Out of Texas. The Cowboys are not good. I'm not going to undulate again. I said maybe I was wrong. Maybe they're okay. No. The Cowboys are not good. I'm sticking with this.
They
now
can present problems because I think, again, defensively they can get after the quarterback. And they showed you that in week number two against the Giants. If you don't have adequate protection, if you don't, you know, aren't ready for all their different stunts and games and blitzes and what Rod Marinelli throws at you, their defense can present problems. It's better than people think. Offensively, they are static, boring, one-dimensional, incapable, and frustrating if you're a Cowboys fan, and in which case you have no soul and you lack a positive role model in your life and you should repent and reform. But the fact that the Cowboys can't push the ball downfield, don't have enough weapons, it's everybody knows what they're doing at all times. It's Zeke Elliott right, Zeke Elliott left, Zeke Elliott on a cutback, Zeke Elliott on a pitch. That's all well and good. Points come to the passing game, and that's why they're not scoring.
I think Ezekiel Elliott will get his throughout the season, but I have I got a number for you on Dak Prescott that I think is completely alarming. I came into this season down on him after last year. My speculation after year one was this is a guy who had a great rookie season. I saw this act in 2012, largely credited, I thought, to the coordinating and the scheming of their offense, but also to the fact that the heavy lifting was done by his running back. People said, no, this guy's different. He's special. He's got a chance. Okay, well, let's see what happens. Then he didn't have Ezekiel Elliott, and he was a completely different player last year, which is where my skepticism came from. But here is the stat that if you are a Cowboys fan, this should absolutely alarm you. And this is kind of what I need to know. Not to say that Prescott is not good, but that right now Dak Prescott is a guy, utterly and figuratively just a dude. Here is what we're looking at. Dak Prescott's last five games, Danny, 34 attempts, 181 yards, 30 attempts for 179, 29 for 170, 25 for 160, and 34 for 168. He's thrown for 170, 160, 168. So you say, well, I don't understand. What are you talking about? Well, listen to this. Only four quarterbacks have ever had longer streaks of games where they've thrown at least 25 times and gone for fewer than 200 yards. Those quarterbacks are John Brody, I don't know who that is, Rick Meyer, Steve Walsh, and Ken O'Brien. None of those dudes were throwing in today's NFL where it is legitimately easy to move the ball through the air, where everybody gets to throw for two bills every Sunday, where receivers can't be touched, where you cannot be contacted by Clay Matthews. Dak Prescott has not thrown for 200 yards despite 29 or more attempts in his last five games. I don't even know how that's possible, but this is where we are with him right now.
I still think, well, how do I phrase this the right way? I think he's better. He wasn't as good as he was his rookie year, right? But I actually think he's better than this. He's just now devoid of weapons and possibility.
But a lot of guys are, and they don't put up numbers this bad.
That's true. So it's like glaring evidence that's a pie in my face right now. So I don't think that's like 1 out of 10 stuff. That's, we need to replace this guy immediately. That's like, he's a journeyman. This is Kent Graham. This is, John Freeze. Okay. That's like the pedestrian bad quarterback stuff.
And he's not benchable bad, but here's my point. They're going to extend him with a $100 million contract this offseason, and it is going to be a grave mistake.
Yeah. They squandered their chance based on their personnel and everything else, to have this incredibly cheap, the best value in the sport is this mid-round draft pick quarterback that's playing for you before you have to give him big primetime money. That's the greatest possible value. So they have a guy that's a starter making a fraction of what his peers are, whether it's Jimmy Garoppolo, Russell Wilson, the high-paid guys, Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers, et cetera, et cetera. They squandered that opportunity with completely inadequate weapons, and they should be ashamed of themselves. That is just foolhardy bad management. And you're right, they're about to give him a ton of money, which means more is expected from him. You're going to have these kind of situations. You're going to have a weakness, and theirs right now, of course, is weaponry.
For the quarterback play in the division to uptick over the next couple of years, Carson Wentz is probably going to be doing the heavy lifting. And we pivot now to Philadelphia and to Wentz, where the Eagles got their first win with him under center this season, 20-16, come from behind fashion. They score 7 points, big touchdown in the fourth quarter. They were down 16-13. Wentz's return was just okay. But to be honest with you, this is kind of what I was anticipating, is he was going to need to get his footing again. He was efficient, and he was accurate. He was 25 of 37. They didn't ask him to do a lot down the field. He threw for 255, one touch, one pick. A lot of Zach Ertz, who went for 73 yards. The tight ends in general combined for 12 and 146 in this game.
Dallas Goedert went off.
Goedert from South Dakota State had a field day, ended up catching a touchdown in the game as well.
So there were a couple Wentzian moments in this game, and I don't have a better adjective or adverb, whatever that part of speech is, than that, where he was dead to rights.
Do you need to watch a Schoolhouse Rock video to figure out what part of speech it is?
I feel like I do. I feel like I need a Schoolhouse Rock video anyway. And they're coming soon, by the way. I got a kindergartner.
Make them, or are you going to watch the old ones?
A little of both. Little of both.
But do they make new ones now?
I actually couldn't tell you. I haven't been in the market for Schoolhouse Rock videos for some time, for obvious reasons. But maybe they do make new ones.
I wonder if they update them. Like, I remember in high school, the sex ed videos you saw were all 37 years old.
Yeah, they're from the 70s, and they were just, the guy with the mustache was like, listen, it's natural. And you're like, you're not. Go away, please.
This is so creepy. Shave your mustache.
Yeah, you're so uncomfortable. And but Wentz had a couple of those moments where he was dead to rights, that where there's no way, and he does some sort of crazy get out of jail free, you know, the slithering escape where he makes forward progress, whether it was diving for a first down, completing a pass to Aguilar, and a couple different plays that he made where you just go, oh, that's right, this guy is so capable and he's excellent. You're right that they kind of eased him in a little bit and that not too much was asked. They really miss Alshon Jeffrey in that offense, by the way. That's, even though he's not that fast, that's their ability to kind of go over the top a little bit. Everything right now is close to the line of scrimmage. They're missing some downfield elements of that passing game, but he was really impressive, even without putting up big numbers, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, the kind of matchup of two quarterbacks who aren't quite back to themselves yet with Andrew Luck, who was replaced at the end of the game.
Speaking of that, keep telling me he's okay.
Jacoby Brissett came in to throw the Hail Mary at game's end because they didn't want Luck to have to show off the arm and test that shoulder throwing deep down the field, which tells us everything we need to know about him. The Colts are 1-2. I feel a little bit better, though, about the Redskins' loss to Indianapolis after they gave the Eagles some fits yesterday. Had Philly come out and beat them 27-7, my feelings about that Colts setback at home would still be, a terrible loss. And it probably still will end up being one because the Colts are probably going to lose double-digit games. But because they took the defending champions who are tied for first place to the brink, second time in as many games they led an NFC East team in the fourth quarter. I think you can feel a little bit better about that. The Giants, lastly, in the division, did beat the Texans 27-22. I would not want to be Bill O'Brien today. I said that last week. I'll say it again. The Texans did come back with 13 fourth-quarter points to make this a game, but the Giants really handled them early and throughout the contest. It was a get-right day for Eli Manning, who threw for 297 yards and two touchdowns. Saquon Barkley rushed for 82 and to score. The Giants get their first win of the season. Someone was going to be in a little bit of trouble in answering some tough questions, either Pat Shurmur in New York or O'Brien in Houston. It's not Pat Shurmur, because the Giants, for at least, I would say, about two and a half quarters, looked exactly like they're supposed to. They ended up cooling off like the Redskins in the second half.
So you look at the numbers and you go, man, Watson, 385, two touchdowns. He had a couple nice runs in the game. Impressive, right? Wrong. Something's going on there. I think, listen, too much was expected of the kid, obviously, after how sensational he was for a handful of games last year and kind of the all-world hype on him. But, man, he just does not look quite right at this point. So bad decisions, a couple fumbles in there on sacks, threw a bad pick. He just hasn't looked particularly good here through the first few games.
DJ Swearinger is scheduled to join us in just a couple of minutes on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. You will hear from the Redskins safety. Had a big pass breakup and a couple of huge hits yesterday. Next, live from Redskins Park right here in Ashburn on 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. DJ Swearinger is going to stop by the park when he's done working out. A little bit of a quirky schedule for the Redskins today, I'm thinking, because they're going into their bye week. And we've seen guys coming to and from the bubble. We were just chatting with Ryan Kerrigan, and they're kind of doing it in position groups. So a lot of the bigger-bodied defensive linemen have already been out there, been back in for treatment. DBs have made their way out to the bubble, and now a lot of the pass rushers and some of the linebackers are getting out there. But my guess is they're trying to get some kind of work in, have these guys in the facility before they all go their separate directions. Strange, though, to have a bye week going into week four.
Oh, I just hate it.
I think if I was on this team, I would despise it. You're basically going to be playing 13 games without a break. Now, I do know this. Mike Shanahan used to actually ask, and I guess the better word is volunteer, to the league to play on Thanksgiving, because he loved the stretch run, those final four games after the late November holiday.
Those couple extra days off. I know you have to grin and bear it and get through it Thursday
to Sunday.
Yes, you have
like two games in 5 days, Sunday to Thursday. But then after Thanksgiving, you're off that Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You give the players off Monday and Tuesday, and it really is like a second bye week. Now, the Redskins, because they play on Thanksgiving, will get kind of half of a bye week then. But it only comes after you've played twice in 5 days. I think being the first team to get your bye in the fourth game of the season is the pits. And I didn't think about this, but Santana Moss told me this yesterday. I was watching the game with him over at NBC Sports Washington, because we do post-game together, Redskins Overtime Live. And he said, as a player, what do you think of this? He said basically it took him until the third or the fourth game to really get into a groove. He said because of the way the preseason's done and the limited time on the grass now, because of the way training camp is, it normally late in his career took until right around the third or the fourth game. You're in rhythm with your quarterback. Everyone's kind of now doing what they need to do in the offense. He said that's when you hit your stride. So this, he thought, is detrimental to that.
I buy it. I 100% buy it, because you think about your first full game of the season, there's just no substitute for having all the adrenaline, not just of a quarter or a possession running through you, but the full game experience. And guys are probably more tired in week number one than they are at almost any other point in the season, just because you haven't done this yet. You haven't done it for four quarters yet. Now you start to get into that rhythm, get into that groove of establishing that week-long kind of behavior, the rest, recovery, rebound, all the work you're kind of putting in, and your rhythm is kind of robbed from you early on. But by the time you get to week 7, 8, 9, 10, where you're just desperate for a break and that's all that matters, that's more important, that's more critical. Yeah, the Redskins are a little bit banged up here early on, but whether you're talking Morgan Moses, Trent Williams with the quote minor surgery, which, by the way, I think there's no such thing, but I digress. I guess it could be beneficial, but to me, this is hamstringing them a little bit. I think it is to their detriment to have a bye week this early. I really do.
One storyline coming out of the bye week that could be a curiosity is whether or not there's a chance for Tony Bergstrom to take over on the offensive line. I mean, I remember last year conversing with Kirk Cousins about Chase Roullier, and he told me he thought Roullier could start at guard in the NFL. The Redskins, who drafted him as a center, felt that way as well. He kicked over to left guard yesterday, and he played admirably. Tony Bergstrom filled in at center and did a really good job, and their offensive line didn't miss a beat without Sean Laval. And in this league, that's kind of the way it's got
to
go.
It has to, because there's going to be injuries. There's going to be attrition up there. Those guys are involved in too much violence.
Pleased right now to be joined in studio by DJ Swearinger, who yesterday broke out the couple of spoons as he broke up a pass of Aaron Rodgers. Pass number 36 for Rodgers yesterday, DJ. Just about intercepted. You made a great break on that ball. That was one, obviously, you'd studied out of that stack formation, huh?
Yep. It's something that I was trying to do the entire game, just with the same look. And I knew the pass would come off it soon. And before the play, I alerted that it'd be the spot pass, and just made a good break on it, man. I almost had it. I think I should have dove for it because I couldn't get two hands on it.
When you see that look that you'd either practiced or you saw on film, what is your confidence level of where the ball's coming right away? In other words, do you just know, okay, this could be one of a couple things, or do you know he's coming hot to Graham on this in-breaking route? Like, how does that work?
Truth be told, man, I actually never saw that on film yet. You know, that was sort of a game feeling. Just seeing that formation, like the fourth time they ran that. That was the fourth time they ran that formation. So I knew eventually they were setting something up off of it. And that was just sort of the feel of the game. So I knew that play would come, but I didn't know if he was going to throw it as hot or he's going to wait later down the field to throw it. But he threw it hot, and that's what kind of caught me off guard, that he threw it so hot. So I just tried to throw my hand out there to get a tip, to try to tip it to myself. But afterwards, I figured I probably should have just dove for it, you know, and tried to get an interception. But it was a good play.
DJ, looking at this pass chart here, this is from NFL.com, the next-gen stats. Mm-hmm. Ask about the touchdown here in a second, but the thing that jumps out to me is what you guys were able to do. For folks that can't see it, there's a lot of white, a lot of little white dots. Those are incompletions. Looking at Aaron Rodgers yesterday, mm-hmm. I got 2 for 12 on passes in that kind of strike range, that 12 yards and out. So it take the developing plays that take a second. Mm-hmm. You guys, when you had coverage and everything was locked in, I thought did an excellent job at not letting some of those big chunk yardage plays. Right. Was that the design? Was that what you guys were determined to take away?
Yeah, that was definitely the design. We knew Aaron Rodgers, you know, is the deep ball specialist. We knew we had to plaster to our receivers when he ran around. We had to glue to our receivers. I think we did a great job. Both secondary linebackers, the front did a great job chasing them down. We had some they did have a couple drops. They did have a couple drops, but for the most part, we did our job in that aspect.
What happened on the 64-yard touchdown to Geronimo?
We was in a quarters coverage. It's a coverage where the safety is aggressive, corner got to stay on top. So I went down to be the aggressive in the cover four, and the corner has to, you know, replace me up top. So we just got to clean that up, man. Clean up the whatever happened on that play, man. We just got to watch it on film. But it was supposed to be a double on that.
So. Almost a miscommunication, you would say, then.
I mean, nah, it's not. Miscommunication.
Just something where Josh next time probably stays with him vertically.
High. Yeah, he definitely got to stay high.
So you gave up that one play. That was the only play longer than 18 yards.
Yeah, man, and that's something correctable, though. You know, that's nothing with skill, nothing with just being on point, you know, being focused and, you know, knowing what you got to do and knowing what the offense has to do to beat us. You know, they can't beat us straight up. So, you know, they had to do double moves and, plays of that nature the plays that kind of gets with our eyes.
DJ Swearinger on Grant and Danny here on the Fan. So we had John last week, and if you guys are just listening for the first time on a Monday, DJ, we're lucky enough to have with us each Monday after every Redskins game all season, which we're pumped about. You came through with a funny stat we loved, which was you had your numbers win-loss record against all the quarterbacks so far.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, what is your win-loss record against Aaron Rodgers?
I'm 3-0.
3-0 against Rodgers. You got,
that's unbelievable. 3-0 with A-Rod, man.
Not many people could say that, by the way.
Yeah, not a lot, man.
Have you picked him?
Not yet, man.
So yesterday was almost number one.
That was the one yesterday, man. I'm still beating myself up about it.
DJ, talking a little bit more about the plan, I got the sense, tell me if I'm wrong, I'm just a fan watching the game, you know, pretty close here. it looked like you guys were fine giving up some rushing yards. Mm-hmm. So we don't care because we know what you want to do eventually is put the ball in the maestro's hands, let him do those back shoulder throws and strikes to Allison and Adams and Cobb and Graham. You guys were willing to give up some things early. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to stay disciplined if you're giving up 4, 5, 6 yards sometimes on you know, first and second downs in the run game? Mm-hmm. How hard is it to stay with the plan knowing that you're right because they're eventually going to get to what they want to get to?
Right. You know, as a secondary, man, we just got to let the big front handle that. And we make the tackle if it gets to us, man. We can't really if we see the run, we just got to tackle it when we can. You know, we can't be looking in the backfield, especially against a guy of that caliber going against 12. We knew that they was going to sprinkle in a little runs, but we knew the ultimate goal, he wanted to throw it deep. You know, he wants to get his passing yards. He wants to get his receivers in space. Even when it was run downs, you know, he would throw it out there to the receiver. You know, just if he sees that the receiver can get more yards rushing, I mean, passing the ball, he would do that instead of running the ball. So we didn't mind giving up a few. I know the big guys up front, you know,
they don't like that,
you know, at all. But as a secondary, man, we got to control. We can control, and that was the deep ball.
Two things I want to hit with you before we let you go. The first is there was a play. I couldn't believe my eyes, but I want to give you credit for it. Receiver basically is reaching for a football. It ends up being, incomplete. Or he's
close
at
to the sideline,
side right?
Play, yeah.
And you came flying over, and you could have killed him.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have just ended his day, maybe his season. And I think 3 years ago, you probably would have, right? DJ Swearinger with the Houston Texans is just laying that dude out.
Right.
Do you remember the play?
Yeah,
Cobb. You completely pulled up on Cobb.
And that's my second pick. That's the one I think if I would have took off a little more earlier, I probably would have dove and laid out for that ball.
Really?
Yeah, I was beating myself up about that one, too.
But to not hit him tells me that either your mindset has changed with all these league-changing rules or the rules are working. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I actually, since I've been in the game, you know, I've been trying to change, you know. In Houston, it was a little harder because it was my early days and, you know, trying to get away from what you've learned your whole life hitting-wise, you know, it's kind of hard. But after 3 years and 2-3 years in the league, you know, you see that, you know, you just got to be finesse, more finesse and not physical. And you got to try to find your ways to be physical within the rules. Me now, whenever the ball is in the air, I don't even care about the man. I want the ball. And that's sort of the different mindset I had, you know, 3 years ago. A lot of times, 3 years ago or 4 years ago, you know, I'm going to try to make that big hit, you know, try to take somebody out. But as the experience get higher and higher, you know, the ball matters. And that's the only thing that I want is the ball.
Smart. The other one is the Clay Matthews hit. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm born and raised in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Your boy wants the Redskins to win the Super Bowl, right? That was the worst call ever.
It was.
And it's a correct call based on the current rule.
Yeah, it is a correct call, but it's horrible, man.
What are we going to do about this?
That is horrible, man. I don't care what team it is. That's a clear sack. There's nothing he can do about that. You know, he can't. Like, you know, I think they're basically asking defensive ends to tag him, or if you tackle him, you got to hurt yourself. Because the only way he doesn't land on him is he's, I don't know. You can't do that mid-air with somebody.
Is it even physically possible to land on your arm? I don't know what he's supposed to do.
You're going
to
hurt your arm. You're going to hurt your shoulder. You're going to hurt your elbow. It's something going to happen if you try to do that and something happens wrong. It's no physical way that can happen, man. And then at the end, you know, he tried to at least get off.
He tried,
quick, you know what I'm saying? It's a lose-lose for defense, man.
I even heard Alex Smith say, as a quarterback, he basically said, I feel bad for him.
Yeah, but you know what, man? Truth be told, man, they put that rule in for Aaron Rodgers. And it kind of backfired on him, I think.
Oh, because of the collarbone.
Because of the collarbone. That's exactly why they put the rule in, because he got hurt. You know, they don't want the great quarterbacks out, so they put the rule in for him. So it backfired on him.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So that's not okay, but a 300-pound lineman cutting a defender that's not looking is fine. That's the type of thing I'll never understand. DJ, congrats on the win yesterday, man.
Appreciate
enjoy your time
it.
Off, but enjoy the bye week.
Will do. Thanks for having me.
See you.
DJ Swearinger in studio with us. We're at Redskins Park. Grant and Danny talking about the 2-1 Skins on the Fan. Clinton Portis joins us next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Caught up with DJ Swearinger live here in Ashburn at Redskins Park. A lot of fun to break down a banner defensive showing. Save really for one play for the Redskins yesterday in a 31-17 win over the Packers. Let's get some insight and get enlightened on the offensive performance, including a 28-point first half for the first time since Thanksgiving 2012. Longtime Redskins running back Clinton Portis is with us on Grant and Danny. Normally on the phone, cool to have you in studio with us out here in Ashburn, CP. How about Adrian Peterson in this running game yesterday? They went for a 160 on the ground. AP rumbled for 120.
Looked really good, you know, to get 19 carries. I feel like that's the threshold. You want to get him 18 to 22 carries, 18 to 22 touches per game. You know, I don't think he needs 26 or 27 to wear and tear at the end of the season, or that will give you a higher risk of injury. So being able to get done in 19 carries what he did, you know, having 120 yards. A lot of people like, well, they didn't get CT involved. This wasn't a game plan for CT. Every time he was on the field, Green Bay blitz. They brought an extra backer, which kept him in. Therefore, he only had like seven or eight touches. So you'll have game plans where one of those guys get off. But to go out and get 160 was great for this offense.
Clinton, I think of when this offense is really humming. When this offense is going, it's, you know, everything is spread out and they're throwing on first down and they're mixing and matching and doing a bunch of different things. And that opens up Adrian Peterson, I felt like. It reminded me at times, especially in the second half, when it reminded me of your first year here, when everyone knew it was coming. Everyone knew it was Clinton Portis, which one way or the other, and you were almost had to be a battering ram at times. Could that be frustrating, or are you just happy to get touches?
It could definitely be frustrating, but when you're in the league, then that doesn't bother you.
Okay.
As they did in the first half, they had a good game plan of spreading the ball around. You put the ball in a lot of guys' hands early on. You know, Paul Richardson had two catches early. You look at Crowder, he was involved. Jordan Reed was involved. They even made the attempts to Doxson. So you kept Green Bay honest because they didn't know where the ball was going. And on first down, you have to get play action passes. You have to take shots to allow the defense to know you're willing to do that. And going over the top, making the big play to Paul Richardson early on, that kind of eases the defense. That means, you know what, we can't drop a safety in the box because they're willing to go deep to this guy. We have to come up with another plan. On first down as a running back, of course, that's the down that you feel like you're going to run the ball. You know, you want to pick up 3 or 4 yards and put the team in second and six, second and seven. Therefore, you're always facing a third and three, third and four if you just capitalize on second down. You never really want to get behind on the chains, so you don't want to be in first and 15. As you've seen in the second half, anytime we got behind on the chains, it was hard to move the ball. It's hard to recover from first and 15 because now that first play is a safe play, and you're thinking, okay, let's run the ball. If you don't pick up 5 yards on that run, you're facing second and 10, or you're facing third and 10. So you don't really want to put yourself behind on the chains, so you believe on first down, if I run the ball, my running back, especially having Adrian Peterson, is going to pick up at least 2 to 4 yards.
Legendary Redskins running back Clinton Portis on Grant and Danny. We're live in Ashburn. Believe it or not, we're at Redskins Park today on a victory Monday. CP, when you were on teams that struggled in the second half, was there anything that, you know, those teams had in common? Two wins this season, not to overly nitpick here, but Washington against Arizona and now against Green Bay has not really been able to do anything after halftime. Was it hard sometimes when you had a great first half to come out and get the energy going again? What is that?
Well, when I was here, touchdowns was hard to come by. So I can't think of too many times we scored 28 points in the first half. But, you know, as a team, when you get out, when you jump out to those early leads, as the Skins did in both of those games, Arizona, Green Bay, you jump out to a big lead. You're playing in front. You definitely don't want to give Aaron Rodgers opportunities of a short field. So you're playing to not turn the ball over. You're playing to sustain a drive, run some time off the clock, and we're willing to punt because he's down two possessions. My defense is playing great football. Therefore,
I don't want to make a mistake offensively. So I can kind of reason with Jay in understanding, well, he's not taking it. The weather was bad as well. So I'm not taking shots. I'm not throwing the ball to the middle of the field to give you an opportunity to create a turnover or to create a short field. And then all of a sudden you get a quick score. And now this is a tough game. So when your defense is playing as well as our defense was playing yesterday and containing Aaron Rodgers, all the drops by that team, they helped us out a lot with penalties, you know, the personal foul, the pass interference. So they helped us out a lot. But when you're looking offensively every week, you're not playing Aaron Rodgers. So if you go back to week one, we should have capitalized and converted in the second half, and it's totally different. But week two, as long as you're keeping Aaron Rodgers off the field and don't get him the opportunity to come back and win this game, I don't care if we win by 1 point. I'm fine with that.
It's Clinton Portis in studio in Ashburn hanging out with us on Grant and Danny. Next, let's get into the early bye week with CP and try to figure out getting a week four bye week. What are some of the pros and the cons to that for a Redskins team tied for first with the Eagles at 2-1? You're listening to The Fan. Portis is in studio with us. Grant and Danny in Ashburn. 2-1 Redskins coming off of a 14-point win over the Packers. CP, I just read this to you during the break, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the air. So Adam Gase, the head coach of the Dolphins, just met with the media. And his defensive end, William Hayes, who had 2 sacks already this season, is out for the year. He tore his ACL yesterday. We were just talking to DJ Swearinger about the new rules with Clay Matthews getting called for a sack yesterday for putting his body weight on a quarterback. That's literally what he did wrong. The injury to William Hayes, who's out for the year with the Dolphins, occurred because, according to his coach, he was trying not to put his body weight on the QB.
Well, the NFL would rather lose William Hayes than Aaron Rodgers or Alex Smith, because those guys are the faces of organizations. You don't really see any D linemen that's the face of any organization throughout the NFL. So they're not selling jerseys. They're not filling seats. You want to protect your moneymaker, which is the quarterbacks. I think it's unfortunate that this game has to be played this way, where it's, I mean, even when you look at the cornerback position, you can't put your hands on wide receivers anymore. You can't hit guys coming across the middle. A lot of guys are losing jobs that were once needed from being physical. As the type of player that I was, I couldn't play today. You know, I was getting fined, and this was way before everyone else caught a whiff of me getting fined for downfield blocking or crackbacks. Like, they would eject me from the game from making a play to help my teammates, you know, like, well, you're too aggressive, or this guy wasn't paying attention. That's the point of playing football, to catch that guy that's not paying attention, that's hustling too hard, that's trying to make a play. I'm trying to take the will out of this guy. For a quarterback, what do you do? You know, this, are you going to take away the moment that a defender touch you? You blow the whistle to stop it, because that will take away all the plays that Aaron Rodgers made. That will take away all the plays that Ben Roethlisberger made. And so many quarterbacks that scramble and get out of the pockets. You look at the kid in Seattle, you could never get him down. Right. You can't touch him. So if it's two-hand touch and I touch him with two hands, do you blow the whistle dead? Do you say, well, he's down? Because these guys make plays by, I mean, they make their biggest plays by extending the play. And if I can't touch him already, like, what you want me to do? Come wrap the quarterback up and hold him, like, good job, you can't get this pass off, blow the whistle, ref. You know, like, what are you asking me to do?
Yeah, I would have loved to have blown that play last year against the Eagles dead, with Carson Wentz when he escaped and it went for a touchdown. Please blow that dead. But, Clinton, what did you see from this Redskins offensive line this week? It's a bit makeshift, right? So Roullier has to go to left guard, Bergstrom at center. I thought it was night and day difference between last week and this week. I thought they were sensational.
I thought it was the best looking O-line, probably what needs to be your starting O-line. You know, Sean Leval had a great first game. Week two, he didn't look so good. Chase Roullier and Bergstrom combination, I don't think you missed a beat. You know, you actually were able to get downhill, and it worked out to the advantage of this offensive line. And Adrian Peterson had 120 yards rushing. Week one, you got downhill. You had a big rushing day. week two, you tried to run sideways, and we ended up losing to a team that we felt like we should beat. So what I saw out of this offensive line is they need to be going forward. They don't need to be going sideways. We don't need to be fooling people with the assumption that we're running sideways, because we're not good running sideways. We need to get downhill. You need to double up to the next level, get on to the next man, and get creases for AP to hit. If he's running downhill full speed like he was yesterday, guys are going to start getting out of the way. That allows him to jump cut, to make a complete stop, and break to the sideline for 41 yards. If you're running sideways, AP never makes that play. It's impossible to make. But because his shoulders are square, he comes to a complete stop in the hole, take a jump cut, and break outside. That's what you get running forward. That's when this team is better suited. That's when his running game is beneficial to this organization. So keep it up.
Clinton Bortis on Grant and Danny. Did you ever have a bye week this early in week four?
I think so. I can't remember, but early bye week, you know, especially if you're in rhythm, you know, if you're in rhythm, we were coming off of tough training camps under Coach Gibbs, and you get all of a sudden you get into that 13 straight games where you got to get hot at some point, because every team does. Everyone is going to have that consecutive weeks where your offense or your defense looks amazing. I mean, every team goes through that. We haven't even hit that point yet. So you're saying you come back from bye week five. If you get AP going and he all of a sudden in a 3 or 4 week span, AP rushes for 600 or 700 yards, that's outstanding. The offense will move the ball. And then defensively, if you can continue to stay healthy, that's the biggest key to our defense, not losing any of these guys that we have on the field. Because the guys that's making plays for us defensively, other than DJ Swearinger, all these guys are new upcomers. They're shocking you. Dunny. No one expected Dunny to come in and fill in for Breland or Fuller and take over and possibly be the best cornerback on this team, you know, and you don't want to say it, but no one expected that. No one expected Fabian Monroe to come in and create a fumble against the Green Bay Packers to seal the game. No one was expecting John Allen, Matt Ioannidis, and Payne to lead this team in sacks. All of a sudden, Ioannidis have 3 sacks. You expected Zach Brown to get off to an early start. We haven't heard Zach Brown name in 3 weeks, but we're 2-1. You haven't heard Preston Smith or Kerrigan name in 3 weeks, but we're 2-1. So when these guys bring their game over and it transfer to what they're normally doing, then all of a sudden that elevates this defense.
Clinton, what do you got going the rest of the day? How are you spending the victory Monday?
It's really not a victory for me. I had to come into work this morning to discuss this. But, you know, tonight I get to watch football tailgate at Ivy City Smokehouse. It's a great event. It's actually going to be the first good Monday night game. The previous two was just, you know, something for football. Tampa and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, a dysfunctional organization right now. Probably going to make a move with Le'Veon sometime soon. And Tampa is the surprise of the NFL. And Fitzmagic is killing it for my fantasy team.
It's unreal.
So I'm excited to finally be able to watch a good Monday night football game. It's going down at Ivy City Smokehouse. You know, we're going to have a good time. DJ, hookah, cigars, drinks, good food. So I'm going to enjoy the game. I'm going to enjoy football on my victory Monday.
There you go. Enjoy, nice. CP. Thanks, buddy. Great having you on the show, as always. Live in Ashburn at Redskins Park, Grant and Danny, your Beltway Blitz is next in the 12 o'clock hour. Put the spotlight on the Redskins wide receiver group. More productive yesterday. What led to that?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.